want to hold in our hands. When we read the news, who do we pick up and want to cuddle? When we find an animal in the street, what do we get the urge to pick up? Some people like prickly little hedgehogs. Hello? You pick the animal up and cuddle it, particularly if it's hurt or looks sad or wet. And we've got a word that I expect grown-ups will know, maybe not all the children will know. For the feeling you get when you see something that's hurt or wet or sad or cold that you want to pick up and cuddle or do something for, it's called compassion. And God feels that too for us. And it's interesting that the sort of people that God feels compassion for are not necessarily the sort of people that we as human beings seem to pay the most attention to. Leon, you've had a little bit to say today. Do you know what a celebrity is? Someone famous. Crispin, do you know what a celebrity is? Can you think of a celebrity? Can anyone think of a... The Queen. Yeah, excellent. The Queen's a celebrity. That's right. Great example. She's in the newspapers a lot. She's on the telly. And lots of people look up to her. Not that high up, Crispin. Can anyone think of another celebrity? David Beckham. Another great example. So when you think about the Queen and David Beckham, are they the sort of person that you have compassion for? Are they the sort of person you want to cuddle? I think some people might want to cuddle David Beckham, but I'm not one of them. So it's really weird that the people that our society think are great aren't the people that God's really interested in. That's really interesting, isn't it? So if you want to think about who you want to be and how you should behave, perhaps these role models are not the ideal. So, something else I wanted to touch on before you lot start making flags and things, which I know you're itching to do. Crispin, I'm going to have a couple of questions for you. Can you come up here? I want to talk to you about another thing that comes out in the Beatitudes. We'll read them in a few minutes. And that's that bad experiences have a good side. We've got this saying, every cloud has a silver lining, haven't we? Or more pessimistic say people say, every silver lining has a cloud. But so an example of a bad experience that I had, another exemplum, about a year ago I was made redundant. And I think a lot of you knew that was going on, and I'm very grateful for all those that prayed for us in that situation. And it seemed like a really bad experience to be going through. But I ended up with a job I enjoy a lot more. And I ended up being able to take the kids to school sometimes, collect them from school sometimes. So in a lot of ways, that's turned out to be a good experience, or at least a good experience, or a good end result from a bad experience. And that's one of the things also that comes out in the Beatitudes, which we'll talk about later. Crispin, can you stand near this microphone and we'll see whether it works? Is that going to work, Merv? Oh, it's not even Merv up there, it's Bill. Oh, tell you what, let's do this.
That's better.
Yeah, you don't have to get too close to it. Just say something like hello.
Hello.
Okay, you don't have to go that close. Right, Crispin, you know we practiced a few questions.
Yeah.
I might ask them slightly differently this time.
Okay.
I'd like you to tell me if you kicked anyone on Friday.
Yes, but he asked me that question because I go to a kind of fighting.
You're going to spoil it. Did you punch anyone on Friday?
Yes.
What did the person who you kicked and punched feel about that?
I don't know.
What do you think he felt? Was he angry? Did he go and tell someone?
No.
Why didn't he go and tell someone? Did he think he was being bullied?
No, he didn't. We were practicing.
You were practicing. What were you practicing?
Tang Soo Do.
That's great. What is Tang Soo Do? What's another word that people are more familiar with?
Karate,
that's right. Okay, you've done brilliantly. You can pop down now. You want to talk? No, better not. She only has a few words. I got told off after one of my family services for letting the kids interrupt too much, so we'll try not to get too distracted. The point here that I'm probably not making very well is there's a big difference between what happens and how you feel about it. The boy that you might have thought Crispin was beating up if he hadn't given the game away was actually experiencing the same thing as he might experience in the school playground, but from a different point of view. And because his attitude was different, the way he received that treatment was different. And it's been my experience that if I can think past what's actually happening to me at the time when bad things are happening, to something greater, something better that's going to come, then what's actually happening at the time becomes less important. And I can detach what I'm feeling about what's happening to me than to what's actually happening. And it's not so bad. I don't feel I've made this point particularly well, so hey, let's move on. So now I want the kids to start making these flags. And you can see they've already started. That's great. To a lot of the people, these will be familiar words because this is core Christian script. I felt a bit challenged thinking of anything to say, but seems I've come up with quite a lot without really going into them very deeply. So let's review what's here. This word blessed, I find it a kind of difficult word to define. It's a kind of happy, helped by God, pleasing, fortunate feeling. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. Blessed are those Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So it's useful to look at familiar words when they've been translated by someone different. A lot of you will be familiar with this Bible we use occasionally called The Message, which is a translation into even more modern language than the NIV we're used to. I don't always get on with the words it uses. But I'll read this same again, and perhaps it'll be helpful. When Jesus saw his ministry drawing huge crowds, he climbed a hillside. Those who were apprenticed to him, the committed, climbed with him. Arriving at a quiet place, he sat down and taught his climbing companions. This is what he said. You're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there's more of God. You're blessed when you feel you've lost what is most dear to you. Only then can you be embraced by the one most dear to you. You're blessed when you're content with just who you are, no more, no less. That's the moment you find yourselves proud owners of everything that can't be bought. You're blessed when you've worked up a good appetite for God. He's food and drink in the best meal you'll ever eat. You're blessed when you care. At the moment of being careful, you find yourselves cared for. I'll just adjust the microphone a little bit. At the moment of being careful, you find yourselves cared for. You're blessed when you get your inside world, your mind and your heart put right. Then you can see God in the outside world. You're blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of compete and fight. That's when you discover who you really are and your place in God's family. You're blessed when your commitment to God provokes persecution. The persecution drives you even deeper into God's kingdom. Not only that, count yourselves blessed every time people put you down or throw you out or speak lies about you to discredit me. What it means is that the truth is too close for comfort and they are uncomfortable. You can be glad of what happens. Give a cheer even. For though they don't like it, I do. And all heaven applauds, and you know that you're in good company. My prophets and witnesses have always gotten into this kind of trouble. So I find that quite a helpful rewriting of it, don't you? Great. Are we pretty close to everyone having a flag? Yeah? What I'd like to do is step through these again then. And if you think that this category of person who's been blessed applies to you, I'd like you to put up your flag and keep it up as we keep going. Not quite yet. You can be meek if you want. And we'll see how we do. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Have you ever felt or do you feel just not enthusiastic and strong enough? Blessed are those who mourn. Have you ever lost a friend or a relative or a thing that's really hurt you? If you have, put your flag up. Blessed are the meek. If you feel small or inadequate, even sometimes, then put your flag up. I haven't got enough flags, I've only got one, so I'm saving mine. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Do you look into the world and say, that's just not fair on them, that's just not fair on me, why can't this be put right? If that's you, maybe you put your flag up a bit higher. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. If you've ever done something out of a sense of more than just what you can get out of it, out of fairness, out of giving to someone something that they didn't strictly deserve, put your flag a bit higher. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart. It's so hard to be poor in heart, I think I lose a point on that one. Blessed are those with the longest flag. Blessed are the peacemakers. It's hard to be a peacemaker. I'm not sure I can put that flag up myself. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. If you've ever been in trouble or risked being in trouble just for speaking up. And blessed are you when people insult you persecutely and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. If you've ever been in that position or risked being in that position, maybe some of your arms are getting tired. So let's put our flags up now, anyone who's had a reason to put a flag up. That's great. I think that's everyone. I expected it to be everyone. That's great news. We're all blessed. But I'll tell you what's great news as well, because I think you saw that coming. But I bet we'd struggle to even find a celebrity who couldn't put a flag up. It's easy for us to look down on these celebrity types. I'm not a great fan of Beckham, nor the Royals, I have to say. But they too are the sort of people that have all kinds of troubles in their life. So even though I've said they're not the sort of people, or should I say, even though I've said that society looks up to them for reasons which we don't look up to them, that we don't hold them special. No, that's wrong. Though I've said, badly, that society holds them as special, and that's not the reason that God holds them as special. God does still hold them as special. That's my point. I managed to say it in the end. Hey! So everybody is valued by God, and everybody is special. I wanted to come back to one of the Beatitudes because I have a particularly strong opinion about it. Because I mentioned already that about a year ago I was made redundant, had to find another job. And there's this one that when you're looking for a job and you're a Christian, you feel a bit nervous about, or at least I did. And that is, do I put on my CV that I'm a Christian? Genevieve, would you be quiet, please? Do I put on my CV that I'm a Christian? Because it might put some people off. They might think I'm going to go to work praising God all the time and preaching to them, and people don't particularly like to be preached to. They don't mind God being praised. They're used to extroverts and nutters. We're English. We're supposed to be, what's the word? English. Eccentric, thank you. But being preached to, they don't like. But then I thought, it's important that I put that I'm a Christian on my CV for two reasons. Even though I might be persecuted and people might get the wrong judgment of me. One is, as you know, you're not supposed to hide your light under a bushel. And the other is that it will affect the way I behave at work. And on my CV, I ought to be giving people some ideas about how I'm going to behave at work. Some people might interpret that and say, this guy won't say the things which aren't quite true, which are commercially important that we say. Give customers extra comforts that maybe we're not sure we ourselves can deliver. Or maybe won't even say, sorry, he's out, when in fact he's sitting at the desk there saying, I'm not in. But on the other side hand, there's good things about employing Christians, like you can trust them to fill in their expenses honestly. I hope. What I actually found was, when I put that I was a Christian on my CV, and I've been doing it quite a while now, I get a really positive response from other Christians. And it actually helps me get jobs, because they go, oh, that's interesting, I'll have him for an interview. So what I've been hinting at is, it's one of those issues which I feel strongly about, where there's a temptation to kind of hide away meekly this little aspect of our lives. But it's important, bring it out. Anyway, time's running by, I've probably talked far too much. The ultimate message here is that God is with us through all our experiences. And that he's there, he'll comfort and care for us. And that particularly when things are hard, when we're taking a risk for him, that's when he's especially with us. And if we make the effort to be with him there too, we'll feel the benefit of that to a great degree. So will you sing with us, bring me the final song from Songs of Faith.